mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Actually, what I want to talk about today is the doctrine of sin. It's interesting because last time we talked about Jesus being the way into the presence of God, and that what prevents us from going into God's presence is because of sin and iniquity. And that what God can do, the only thing that God can do for mankind on this earth, the process by which he blesses people is to infuse a piece of himself. Let me just use that expression. I think I can borrow that from John G. Lake. That what God does is to take a part of himself and give to mankind. And that's how mankind becomes blessed on the earth. So we said the reason why man cannot approach to God to receive that part of God that will be a blessing to his life is because of sin. Therefore, last week we examined the doctrine behind this, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, how God, that's the difference between law and grace, how God is transforming us into his very own nature. We said that it's to be able to do that, that Jesus made a way through the veil into the presence of the Father. Now, today, what I want to go on to talk about today is something about, like I said, is the doctrine of sin, what the Bible says about sin, so that we can understand it. And we're going to read two texts of the scriptures. First, we'll read 1 John chapter 3. It says, "See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we will be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now are we children of God. It has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. Everyone who practices sin, verse 4, also practices lawlessness. And sin is lawlessness." Let me just, for clarification, explain something here. If you read the King James, it says sin is transgression of the law. But that's not what the Bible really says. That's why you read all other translations, we tell you sin is lawlessness. To say transgression of the law usually will be implied that the way by which God defines sin is when you transgress the laws of Moses. But what he was saying is far beyond that. In fact, I had a discussion with a young man, a Jehovah's Witness. No, not a Jehovah's Witness. I attend one of these churches that believe so much in the Mosaic laws, obey Mosaic laws. And this was the definition he gave me, that sin is the transgression of the law. And I went to study it, and I found out that that's just an expression in the King James Bible. Every other Bible you use, I've checked more than 10, and they all say the same thing. Sin is lawlessness. Sin is beyond the transgression of the law. Because the Bible says in the book of Romans that before the law, sin was in the world. All right, therefore, sin cannot be the transgression of that law. All right, just to clarify that. Verse 5, it says, "You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has seen him or knows him." Now, please, I want to lay emphasis here. Verse 7, "Little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous." As you know, I'm using the New American Standard Version. He said, "The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil." That is, to destroy the sin that devil ignites in the hearts of people. Are you getting the point I'm making here? Now, I'm trying to explain something here. If you read from verse 7, and verse 8. What I'm emphasizing towards is that word, he who practices. The Bible uses the word, he who doeth, if you use the Greek King James. A lot of times people say that they misunderstand what John is saying. That he that's, because you are a child of God, you do not sin. They think John is saying that the man never makes a mistake or never does anything wrong. That's why I'm emphasizing this point. He said, he who practices righteousness is righteous. There's a difference between doing something right and being a practitioner of that thing. Do you understand what I'm going to say? There's a difference between doing something wrong and being a practitioner of what is wrong. Now, it's important we understand that. And that's what John is saying here, that the one who practices sin is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. Now, verse 9. He said, no one who is born of God practices sin, because his seed, that is the seed of God, abides in him, and he cannot sin, that is, he cannot walk in this practice of sin. That's what he was saying. Because he is born of God. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. This is the difference he was saying. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God. And that is a categoric statement. He said, not the one who does not love his brother. Now, what he was saying here, and we're not going to go into that matter of love today. He was saying that, now you have to get a point. He wanted to introduce a particular matter. So he was giving a background to what he wanted to discuss. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make here? He wanted to talk about love. So everything he's been discussing from when was I reading verse 1 was a prelude to what he wanted to explain about love. But we are not going to talk about love now. But what he was discussing as a prelude is important for us to understand. And that is the fact that there is a matter of sin which a man practices, and there is a matter of righteousness. So he was saying that if anybody does not practice righteousness, he is not of God. And the example he's using here as a practice of righteousness is that of love. So he was saying that, I'm saying this also as regards the one who does not love his brother. Because loving his brother is a matter of practice of righteousness. Now, so, for that reason, I'm not going to talk about love. I am talking about sin. So verse 11, it said, for this is a message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Now, he went ahead to talk about love and all that. Now, please, like I said, I don't want to talk about love, so I'm going to jump all the ones who was explaining about love and get down to verse 19. He said, we will know by this that we are of the truth, and we will assure our hearts before him in whatever our heart condemns us, for God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Verse 21, he said, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. This is his commandment, that we believe in the one, is it in the name of his son Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. The one who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. We know by this that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. Let's now quickly go to Genesis chapter 3. Now, what I want to talk about, if initially I was going to title my message, the story of the garden. Now, I won't read everything that is there, because we all know the story, but I want to highlight a few points. You will read from chapter 2. Let's start from chapter 2. Now, let's start from 15. It said, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. Then the Lord God commanded the man, verse 16, saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die. Then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. Just notice that he gave a commandment to the man before he made the woman. Now, let's now go down to verse 1 of chapter 3. Now, I jumped that one because we all know the story of the creation of the woman and all that. He said, now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, has God said, you shall not eat of any tree of the garden? The woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. But from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die. Then the serpent said to the woman, he said, you surely will not die. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. And she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. Then God now came, you know the rest of the story. Now, I just want to explain a few points here. Now, before I go into the main thing, I want to say, when I was reading this, there was something that I noticed I just want to share with you briefly. And it will help you in your general walk with God. It's not part of what we are discussing. Now, you notice there's a progression here. I call it the progression principle. There's a principle of progression of activities in life. And the same thing is highlighted from 1 John chapter 1. Let me just quickly show you that, and I'll go into what I want to say. Now, Satan began to speak to the woman, right? And then you notice something. He asked the woman, did they say you shouldn't eat this? The woman said, no, they didn't say we shouldn't eat everything. He said, we can eat this one, but we can't eat that one. But now you understand that that was what Adam told her, because she wasn't there when God instructed the man. It was afterwards that she was made. Therefore, this instruction must have come from the mouth of her husband as the word of God. So she said that was what God said. The serpent now began to speak. He said, you will not die. Let me assure you, you will not die. Because he said, you surely will not die. God said, you will surely die. That is, what God has said is not true. And that is now notice this, that is the foundation of sin. You know, I'm talking about the principle of sin, right? That is actually the foundation of sin in life. To take the word of God and say it is not true. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, but we'll get back to that. When he told the woman, you will not die, he said, God knows something. And he told him what he believed, that what he claimed that God knew, that God was trying to get them away from being like God, knowing good and evil. And I'll explain the meaning of the word being like God in a moment. Now, because you will notice something later, let me just quickly highlight that God didn't say that that wasn't true. In fact, at the end, God said, now man has become like one of us. That is, what Satan said was just accurate. Knowing good and evil. What Satan said was exactly what God said. What he just turned around was the fact that God said, they will die. But Satan is saying, in effect, that if you become like God, knowing good and evil, you will, that the two of them can't go together. You will not surely die. But God was telling them that no matter what it appears like on this earth, no matter what physical principles appear like, no matter how much you try to prove it, once I say it is like this, better accept it like that. That's very important, because what Satan was saying, in effect, is that you will be like God. So how can you still tell me you are going to die? And God confirmed later that it's a fact that these people eating of that fruit, they have become like God, knowing good and evil. Are you getting the point? But you see, why I'm explaining this is this. A lot of times in life, and that's the problem with science. Science will try to prove certain things to you, and it will become clear that science, in quote, is making sense. But you see, there's a defense against that. Once God says you will surely die, no matter the explanation that wants to prove that you will not surely die, you're dead. You know, once I told you I'm an interesting fellow, and that's one of the reasons why I made up my mind a point to be informed. Don't just go around. Those are the things that I did before I wrote that article that most of us have read, The Supremacy of Christ, which is the introduction to the book, Unsearchable Riches. The book is not yet published as of today. Now, before I wrote that article, I read around. I even went, downloaded materials on Hare Krishna. I read materials. What the Hindus, what do they say? I borrowed a book on Christian Science, though I really couldn't read that because the owner collected it back. The one I know I had full access to was In the Light of Truth by Abd Roshin. That's the Bible of Grail Message. I read what the man had to say, and I found it very, very interesting. I'm like, interesting that I didn't know what his problem was. Now, and that's what I want to bring out. The man said something which was his foundational doctrine, that it is not possible, are you getting what I'm saying, for a child to be born without the unity of a man and a woman. Therefore, Jesus could not have been conceived the way the Bible says he was conceived. Are you getting the point? Now, when I read it, I said, this is very silly. When I said silly, now, I'm a scientist. You understand what I mean by training? Why I said silly is that you cannot found a whole doctrine on one simple parameter like that. I read this just before cloning became the in thing. Then shortly after that, they cloned Dolly. That's shortly after I read it. I said, wake up Abd Roshin from his grave and show him the folly of his statement. I said, look, Dolly, the sheep, the first mother that was cloned. I said,
Wake up Grushin from his grave and show him the folly of his statement. That the problem with human beings now is to prevent the scientists from cloning human beings. That's the moral question right now in the scientific field. That should we allow people to clone people? That is, ordinary science has made Abdul-Rashid look very silly. No matter how somebody tries to scientifically prove something, whatever God says is final. Do you understand my point? That is a fact. You have to learn to operate life like that. No matter if Jesus says, take no thought for the morrow, no matter the explanation somebody is tries to give you, better believe what he says. Are you following my point? All right. Now, so Satan was in that principle. But what I told you I was going to share something. Let me continue what I'm trying to explain. Now, you notice something. In verse 6, the Bible said that the woman saw that the tree was good for food. And she saw that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable, and this and this and that. And then she took the fruit, handled it, and then did what? Ate it. Let me ask you a question. Was that the first time she was seeing the tree? How come she suddenly realized that it was desirable? There is a principle there. Number one, you first hear. Number two, as a consequence of what you have heard, you begin to perceive. You know, I told you before that what Satan tries to do is to take away your faith. The ability to look at the situation and make a judgment, like we discussed on Saturday, that this cup, is it half full or half empty? We say it depends on where you started from. Was it empty at the beginning? Then it is half full. If it was full at the beginning, that means it's going down. We would therefore say it is half empty. Now, the interpretation of where the cup is depends on the information you are given. That's the point I'm trying to make. Are you following my point? Listen, number one thing is the words that you have heard that decides how you interpret things in life. This is not what I'm discussing. This is just by the way. Now, the reason why the woman saw the tree that it was good for food was because somebody told her it was good. She began to hear it. It is good. It will make you wise. It will improve your life. And the more she heard it, and the more she believed it, suddenly the tree began to take the shape of beauty in her eyes. You know, I heard myself preach. I was listening to one of the messages I preached some time ago, and I forgot I said it, but I just heard the message, and I noticed something there that I said about beauty. That beauty in itself, you know, is an abstract thing. There's nothing really concrete as beauty. You know what it is? A perception. It's how you perceive something. Now, the example I gave in that is that, you see now, at least when I was young, when I was a child, it was not fanciful, all right, for a woman to be thin. It wasn't. You had to have body. You get my point? That was what was called beautiful. But current day, people want to starve themselves to death. Why? Because a designer said, the movie industry said, not the Nigerian movie industry, Nigerians are not that thin. These are Americans. They said that thin is beautiful. In fact, I was reading actually I've read around a lot, you know, in some of these things. And I noticed that even for foreigners, I can't remember where I read this, amongst the whites, the concept of beauty, I can also trace how it changed. Let me explain it to you. Right now, if a woman, that's a white woman, is white, that is properly white, she's not fine. She has to be tanned a bit for her to be considered, that is like it enhances her beauty to be tanned. Do you know it was not always like that? Those days, if you had a tan on you, you were not fine. You had to be as pale as possible. In fact, they said women used to take some drugs like arsenic to make them pale. Because then it was fanciful to be pale. You know the reason? Let me explain it to you. Those days, most people worked in the fields. Are you getting my point? And as a white person, as a Caucasian, and if anybody, once you walk outside, most of the time you get darker. Now, when everybody is white, you know those that tanned were those that were always outside. So they were always walking. So they didn't have money. They were not rich. The rich people were always indoors. So your tan was a sign that you were suffering, you were laboring, you were not rich. So unconsciously, human beings interpreted your wealth as beauty. But things have changed. Now, people who suffer now in those countries work indoors. And only those who have money can go for holidays and lie in the sun. and not walk. So now when you see somebody who has a tan, you know he's not been walking. You know he's been lying down. You know he's been on the beach. You know he's rich. You know he has investments. You know he has money being made for him while he's relaxing. Therefore, the concept of beauty now, are you getting my point, has changed. And now, this is not even my fabrication. After I wrote this article, I wrote an article on the concept of beauty. It was when I read this one a few years ago, and I said, this is just what I've been saying. So you see, things in themselves, they don't have, you argue about some things that, look, this thing is, I know what I'm saying, it's like that. Now, what I'm trying to say is that what you perceive, and you think that I'm so sure of this thing, look, you are interpreting it based on information you had before. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I don't know why that this really happened, but there's some of the funny experiments that those Germans did, the Nazis, that they took some people, they were going to kill all of them, and they were cutting their throats. So if they are killing like 5 people, they will tie them, nobody's blindfolded, they kill the first guy while the other 4 are looking. And they kill the next guy. That one particular guy, when he got to his turn, now before they kill the person, they blindfold the person, but the other people are watching. It's when he got to his turn, they blindfolded him and ran a thin wire across his neck and poured warm water on his body. And he died. He felt his neck had been cut and the warm water he was feeling was his blood. No, I told you the story before. I watched this one on Discovery Channel. Not a joke. A doctor who said that he told the patient that he had a particular kind of condition and he was going to die. And that man progressed as the doctor had predicted. And then one day, he died just like the doctor said he would die. Except that when they did the autopsy, there was nothing wrong with him. Now, I was watching this elderly doctor, an American, I think, or European, talking. He said that thing changed his life. This man there was nothing wrong with him. But he has certain signs and symptoms. And when they did some tests, they interpreted it as if he had a terminal disease. And they told him, and he believed it, and he died. It was to him according to his faith. That's what I always warn you about the kind of things you listen to. Now, let me get back to what I'm saying. We're not even going to what we want to discuss today. I hope we are learning, Shashe. Now, just to the lens, no bizo. And that's the purpose now. So let me keep talking. Now, so what happened to the woman? They said, this is good. And then she began to perceive it as good. That is why David warned that the only way you can keep your way pure is by keeping it according to God's word. You are getting the concept of what I'm trying to talk about here. So the woman was told, and then suddenly began to look good. I did a teaching also around that time, which I called the creation of feeling. I have those articles. I wrote them years and years ago. If you say something is repulsive, inherently it's not. You learned to have the thing repulsive. It was taught to you. That is why if you see a vulture fly past, you are not having this ugly bird. You see an eagle, you know two of them look alike. They do look alike. What's the difference? You know that where the carcass is, that's where the vulture will be found. But you read in your Bible, you mount up with wings like an eagle. Every pastor that comes wants to talk about eagle. The eagle can fly so and so feet, can carry things at 4 times his weight. Now, these are facts. These are facts. The eagle, it's very strong. He has a span, a wingspan of this and that. They tell you how she does her young, and you see God talking about watching over you like the eagle hovers over the young. Sometimes you see eagle, it's like God is speaking to you. See that God? That is how beauty is created. Now, what am I trying to say here? Before you can disobey God, now, let me get back to, in fact, this will come into the issue of sin that we're talking about. Before you can disobey God, listen to me. You must first have information that God is possibly wrong. Listen, that tree would have been there for 1 million years. It would never have gone near it. Do you know why? You have never gone to eat things that you know are bad deliberately. Nothing is wrong with your head. Eve too is not stupid. You won't go into the forest now and you see a particular kind of mushroom that they told you is poisonous and you go and eat it. You will never eat it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? Now, that's the same that will have happened to Eve. Until Satan was able to persuade her that God is possibly wrong, and that is the way life is, she could not disobey God. And that's the point I'm trying to get to understand here. In life, what Satan tries to do to you also is to persuade you every day that God is possibly wrong. Listen, it's a battle of information. Remember, we're talking about the Lord is my shepherd. Listen, you have a responsibility to drown. Now, there are two things you have to do. There's what we call the second hearing. It was called releasing the power that's in the word. One of our main messages were about almost 3 years ago. In that message, I explained that there's what the Bible calls, in the whole of the scriptures, there's the principle of double emphasis. All right? God will tell you, in dying, you will die. Now, what you read here is, you will surely die. The literal Hebrew is, dying, you shall die. That's what King James uses. You understand my point? Now, Jesus will want to speak. He will say, verily, verily, I say unto you. Why didn't he just say, verily, I say unto you? We know what he's saying. But literally, what he was saying, literal Greek is, amen, amen, I say unto you. That is, once you hear something said twice, there is an emphasis that is laid upon it. And I can prove that God himself did it to Pharaoh. Remember the story of Pharaoh? Pharaoh had two dreams. When Joseph heard it, he said the two dreams mean one and the same thing. He said, but that is being repeated. It means that God is going to do this very quickly. Are you getting my point? So, Romans chapter 1, you now hear that faith comes by hearing and hearing. The full thing is faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You know, the grammar has been difficult to decode for most people. How does hearing come by the word? Hearing doesn't come, just hear. But actually, this is my understanding of it. What it was saying is that faith comes by hearing and hearing. Now, the idea is that there is this issue of double emphasis. Once he has spoken, twice I have heard it. And I'm trying to explain something here. The first thing before you can have faith in life is to make a decision. That's what I'm saying. That what God has said is what I will hear. That is one. It's very, very important. Actually, that is number two. Because there are two of them. The first hearing does not depend on you. It just depends on you being present. If you are here, you are hearing what I'm saying. It doesn't mean you believe it. Believe me. Most people go to church. I'm sorry. I don't mean this to abuse anybody. Most people who go to church don't believe what they are being told. They just go to church. Why? It's Sunday. It's a culture. So that one you hear. But it's a second hearing that's an active process, which is what we call believe. Well, not really believing. Let me say, the man has made up his mind ahead of time that this is the only voice I will hear. So if God says that you will die, and Satan says you will not die, and he hears the same thing once, each one of them, by himself, he will now say, which one do I accept? So he will repeat to himself, I will surely die if I do this, thereby echoing what God has said. That way he has heard and heard. Are you getting my point? And that, the Bible says, is how faith comes. You are getting what I'm going to say here. Now, based on this principle, I'm explaining something to you, therefore, that you must, that the second, you know, I said that there are two issues. I've explained one. The second one is that it is better that you hear one more. Are you following my point? That if everybody is talking, go to where God is talking and keep on hearing, if you eat this, you shall surely die. So that Satan will not even have the opportunity. Are you following my point? And that's the way it is in life. Every day you go out, you know, you've heard it said again and again that if you're a Sunday Christian, you are not likely to do very well in life. And that is true. You must, listen, you must make it a rule. You know, the way you buy a novel and read. You know the interesting thing about me? Two things I have found very difficult to do these days is to read a novel and to watch a movie. Now, I'm not saying they are evil. Listen, it's a lot of time when I go, maybe they say, buy this movie. This movie is very nice. I will buy a movie and know it's a joke. The next 3 months, I've not settled down to watch it. When they put it in for me to watch, I fall asleep rapidly. What do I do with my time? When I now have the time here now, I want to do something now. I only pick a book to read. Or if I brought some CDs, this is Bishop's CD, I've not yet watched it. The movie is there, the message is there. I say, this movie is very interesting, but in fact, I'm going to watch it tonight. Let me just listen to this. Now, I'm trying to explain something here. That a man that hears, because it's based on what you hear that you create feelings. It's based on what you hear that you get to love something. Therefore, you should hear what you really should be hearing. Are you getting my point? Now, I hope you understand what I'm trying to say here. Those are one of the issues. Now, let me just go on what I'm saying. Just let me continue about Eve now. The principle of progression of actions. Now, after she began to see differently, the next thing that she did was what? She now began to examine it, touch it. After she touched it, that was when she now ate it. Where did it start from? What she heard, that caused her to see differently. And listen, the way by which you see is what decides where your desire goes. Are you following my point? Let me give an example. And I was telling you something about beauty. Now, you know what they call beauty now in the world today? As I'm talking about amongst worldly women folk. I noticed, I hardly buy weekend newspapers because they are full of junk. But recently I said, let me buy one. So I bought, and then there was a particular fashion page. And please forgive me, I actually read the fashion page and I said, whoever wrote this fashion page is sick mentally. I realized what the woman was explaining was how to expose yourself as much as possible. And this is not a joke. One day I was listening to radio one day, and one woman was trying to explain how women should dress. And all he was trying to say is that, if you are very busty, then you wear this kind of clothes. But if you have it, show it. I'm telling you. And one day I was watching Style with Elsa Clench many years ago on CNN. And one designer, I don't know who it is, had a lot of materials that she used. So one woman, they were now analyzing afterwards. They interviewed one of those critics. He said, now he did a very good job. That despite the fact that he used a lot of materials, he still managed to make all the clothes look sexy. Now, those were her words. And then suddenly it hit me that all they are trying to do, every time they go on parade, all right, is like how good it is how seductive it can make the woman wearing it look. So if you wear, they will take Queen Elizabeth's clothes of many years ago and they want to make a modern version. You know the modern version? You know, you cut holes around the chest, tighten it around the hips, you understand? Just by the time you finish, so you still have all the boo-boo around her, but the idea is that, you know what Time Magazine called, you must display the weapons of mass destruction. You know what I'm saying? Those weapons of mass destruction. Now, I'm explaining something here, and it is considered beautiful. You know why? Because they defined a new... It's words we're talking about. Satan began to explain, this is how you will look nice. After all, what is beauty? Is it not for you to be desirable? And that was what Peter was warning against and said, let your beauty not be outward. Because it wasn't saying that, no, you shouldn't do your hair, shouldn't wear jewelry. He said, no, that is not the concept of beauty. Are you getting my point? That beauty actually is a reflection of the state of the heart of someone. And just now before we started, I was reading one of our tracts, Daniel. You know, so that tract, I read the first paragraph there and I laughed. I wrote the tract. So, you know, it's interesting. Things you wrote many years ago, you read it and you are blessed. And I there's a quotation I have in there about Ed Cole on Daniel and his brothers. He said, they had a handsome countenance that emanated from a strong spirit. Yes, I never forgot that thing. That the reason why they were, let me use the word, desirable, was because they had a strong spirit. You are following the point I'm trying to make? That's why, you know, I used to make a joke, but it's a fact. It's a joke, but based on a fact. I tell young women that if a preacher comes to propose to you, don't go to listen to him again for a while. So you know why? Because when a man is preaching, there's an anointing upon him. He's always desirable. He might be an idiot, but once... I know what I'm telling you people. It's not a joke. You know, I was unmarried once also. I mean, when you finish preaching like this, try it one day. It's an experiment. And let your friends do an experiment. Finish preaching powerfully if you're a preacher. And go and give them my proposal. Look, and tell them, answer me now. At least 9 with jail. It's the same principle also that a lot of preachers used to collect money. It's an anointing. You know, I'm like, when the unction is upon you, you're actually desirable. You get my point? So if you make a request of somebody, this person is likely to give to you. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make here? You are getting my principle. Now, so let me just explain what I'm saying again. That is, if what made that thing desirable was information that she had been loaded with. Are you getting my point? What you actually call fine in life is a product of information. That's, you will not know it. Now, interesting about your own information, you are not the one that started, you learned it. I mean, you didn't invent any clothes. They made them for you. You get my point? There was something I read, one Reverend Father wrote. I read it somewhere on a website. I still have it in one of my files. Now, you know, the man explained something here that is sad, that a lot of women, that women folk generally, allow men to design clothes for them, and those men, if they looked at the men, their character, their life and everything, they wouldn't even want to marry them. Then why do you allow him to decide what you wear? Let me give you an example. Versace would design. The guy was a homosexual. No, Versace, that's why he died. That's why the guy who shot him was one of their homosexual partners who was now HIV positive. So he was angry, just going around shooting all the celebrities he's been sleeping with. Yet, he's a star designer. That is, he does not even appreciate when a woman is fine. Yet, he's trying to tell them what is fine. So when that reverend wrote that thing, I said, this is very, very, very true. What I'm emphasizing is the fact that before you can perform actions, this is how it goes. Number one, you hear things to tell you that is a good thing to do. Then after some time, you actually begin to look good in your eyes. That's why you are being conditioned. Then you get close to examine it. And after that, the performance of it is expressed. And that's the progression of life. I'm trying to explain that before somebody can stop doing something. I told you a story a few weeks ago about this woman, Mary Kay. Inside her book, I read it, Miracles Happen. Her husband smoked heavily. She said she tried everything to explain to him that he should stop smoking. And the man will agree. Now, listen to this. So the man will agree. And he will try to stop smoking. He will stop for 24 hours. After that, he said, man, it's too difficult, it's too difficult, it's too difficult. He will start smoking again. Then they will explain why it's dangerous to his health. He might die suddenly. And the man will look. All right, I should stop smoking. He will try. Use all kinds of methods. At the end of the day, it will fail. Then one day she bought a mag and was reading it and saw that was her first encounter with what they call secondhand smoke. That is, if you live with a man that smokes, you're actually smoking indirectly. You understand? And that, so she now found out that her husband's cigarette smoke was not only dangerous to him, it was dangerous to her also. So of course the man came, saw the mag open, picked it up and read that article about single house smoking and stopped instantly and never smoked again. That is, the love for his wife was strong. That will prove to you that it was really strong. He didn't mind injuring himself. For him, it's not to die. I beg. But when he found out that it was not only going to kill himself, it was going to kill other people that he loved. Do you know? Look, it was. So when I'm saying that I've been trying, the person is not really persuaded yet. You are following the point I'm making? That is, the moment the guy became persuaded that this thing is really dangerous. Let me tell you the truth. If you can persuade an unbeliever that if you really die, you will literally go to a literal hell, he will stop all his rubbish. That's what the Bible says, that they did not enter into his rest because of their unbelief. That word unbelief is unpersuadableness. They couldn't be persuaded. Are you getting the point? That is the meaning of the word unbelief. They could not be persuaded. Unbelief simply means that you are not persuaded that this thing they are saying is really like that. Which was what Satan did to Eve. First thing he did to Eve was to take her eyes away from the persuaded position that this thing is bad. Are you getting my point? Now, that was not supposed to be our message, but let me just end it anyway with one scripture. 1 John chapter 1. It's the same way God wants to use to bless you. He said, that which was from the beginning. Remember what we outlined? Number one, you hear, you see, you handle, and then you do it, right? He said, that which was from the beginning, which we have what? Which we have heard. Then after that, which we have seen. After that, which we have looked at. That is, you see, it's not just seeing now. We now went there and examined it. And then we touched with our hands concerning the word of life. You are getting the point? It's the same way that sin came. The same progression will take you to eternal life. That's what he was trying to say. He said, that is the same thing we are proclaiming to you. Now, I just used this one to bring out that principle. That's the way it goes. We hear it. That causes us to look in a different fashion. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? You know, a man who knows now, maybe from the things we have been discussing, I went to my box today. So I saw an article there written by one of my friends, one of my young friends. And he said that one of the things that Pastor Banky has helped me to learn, he was writing an article, was never to accept the word common man. I felt good, you know what I'm saying? Now, you know, I told you that for me, that's what counts. Yes, I've taught somebody not to accept the word common. Then the man began to explain. So for him, because of what he has heard, when he sees common people, he knows he's not talking to himself. He says, common people, all these we common men, you know, you are not talking to him. Are you getting what I'm saying? So that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, that in the eternal past, God made you a blessed man. You are not a common man. When you hear it, there's a way you approach things. When you say, everybody is going to die if they don't go to this particular place, you know that, well, since they say everybody, that cannot be me. Narrow is the road that leads to life, and few they are that find it. You understand my point? So you know that is not my portion. How did you know that? Because you heard something. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, I hope I've made a few points there. All right, now, we ran into that accidentally. We're going to talk about something, right? What are we talking about? Principle of sin. All right. There was something I said last week. I was referring to Charles Finney. And some things he said. Now, that I didn't finish explaining all the things I wanted to say about that because, of course, we're going to get back to it today. So, let me just go into it now. First, I need to define sin. Literally, the way the Bible uses the word sin, in most cases, it just means to come short of a particular standard. You understand my point? And of course, that standard is who? It's God. Now, there are two ways by which a man can sin, therefore. And Jesus talked about that. There's what we call, I don't mean a sin of omission now, or commission. Both of them, they are still in one group. And that's what I want to say. What I'm trying to explain is that you can sin because you are not even aware of the right things to do. It is still a sin. But there's what is called a transgression or disobedience or what the Bible calls lawlessness. Are you getting my point? And that is the one in which you have been given the instruction, but you went against it. Are you following the point I'm making here? Now, that is why, now, in Eve's case, even very funny, but in Eve's case, it was still disobedience. Though there was an excuse that was made for her in that she believed what Satan said. But Adam was not persuaded about what Satan said. He just took a bold action. All right? That's another thing. But the one I want to emphasize today is the fact that a man who doesn't know what is right naturally walks in sin. He's not an evil person. You know what I mean by evil? He's not wicked. His own is different from what the Bible will call the wicked man. The wicked man knows what is right. But he has chosen his own ways. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? But there's a man who does not know. He has never been informed. For that reason, he does what comes naturally to him. Therefore, he does what is wrong. He's still a sinner. Are you following my point? Is it for God? The way he makes his judgment is interesting. He uses many parameters, all right? And I'm not even going to try to pretend as if I understand all the parameters. I will not even try. I am just going to tell you as much as we can today, okay? But just bear that one in mind. Now, whether your sin is out of ignorance or deliberate disobedience, the wages of sin is death. Are you getting my point? And that's what I want to explain. The reason why it's like that. God is not wicked. One of the things I have come to understand is that Maurice Cerullo will tell you, and I've heard Oral Roberts say it also, that all truth, they are parallel. That is, if you find something happening in the realm of the spirit, there is a parallel thing happening in the realm of the physical. If you find something happening physically, there's a parallel truth, spiritually speaking. For that reason, because I studied elementary science and science at a particular level, I've come to understand a lot of things. And if you, whichever one you study, whether it's the laws of philosophy or the laws of economics, whichever one you are using, you find some all these things to be true also. Now, when scientists, when they study, they discover laws, they research. You know this one way, they never invent laws. You know what they do? They discover it. You can't invent a law in the realm of physics, in physical sciences. You can't. You don't invent laws. You only discover things that are already there as laws. So when you hear of Boyle's law, Charles's law, Graham's law, Posey's law, law of gravity, they were there before the men were born. Before Isaac Newton, acceleration due to gravity was 9.8 meters per second squared. It was. It had nothing to do with Isaac Newton. I didn't know they found out. Before, the expansion of gas under pressure was there. It was there. Boyle just found out that, oh, this is how it is. Now, I'm going to explain something here. So even though you have not learned Boyle's law, and then you inflate tire, inflate them, it bursts. The sudden expansion. Now, what I want to tell you is not a joke. It has happened before. He has killed a man. I wasn't there, but I know the day he killed the man. He was pumping a tire of motor car, and the thing burst, and the air that came out of the tire threw the man over the Nepal wire. When he landed, he was dead. No, you think Boyle's law is a joke? He killed the man. I can still take you to the junction where the man, where he used to repair tires. He overinflated the tire, and the tire was weak. He didn't know. Then the thing gave. As it was like an explosion. After the bombs, the same principle. Is the stuff in there, sudden explosion, gas, everything being released. The rush was space. Now, so that man was the organizer. He didn't go to school. So he didn't study Boyle's law, unfortunately. All those laws of gravity, he never read about them. But it killed him anyway. Now, spiritual things are also like that. Now, you can break a law. Now, God told this man one thing. Abimelech, when he took Abraham's wife. So you're a dead man. The man said, what have I done? He said, he took a prophet's wife. He said, I didn't know it was his wife. He said, it was his sister. So you're a dead man all the same. He said, okay, so that you will not die. Just go and restore the wife. Do you know by that day, all Abimelech's wives were barren? I did not know it was somebody's wife. No, by that day, as soon as he took Sarah, he had just said, bring that woman. Instantly, all his wives became barren. It's called the law of sin and death. I tell you, ignorance is a small excuse. It's not a good excuse. It doesn't save you in the day of adversity. It only works when you turn to God and say, God, I'm sorry. You know, I will not. God said, I know too. That is why I have come with mercy. And I'm telling you that, don't do it. He said, you know, sir, I will not do it. I'm saying, I know. That's why I'm informing you now. I'm just using that one to explain a principle. That just like that organizer did not know about Boyle's law and he died. He never studied the law of gravity. Abimelech too was going to die, though he did not know it was somebody else's wife. Now that is different from transgression. Let me just say it like this. Since under this circumstance, they easily obtain mercy. That is why God put a law of mercy also into this life. I'm explaining something here, that spiritual laws are also like that. You break them anyhow, though you did not do it deliberately, you have still done what is wrong. And there's still judgment for it. And that judgment, next point I want to make, is not as if God is sitting down as judge. Alright? What did he do? 5 years imprisonment. No. God is not like that. It's like, nobody needs to sit as judge. See these wires running, like we can see here. Running through them is 11,000 volts. Those wires that you are seeing in front, those high tension cables, running through them is 11,000 volts. When they had to build this road, can't you see the strong concrete embankments they put around each of the metal supports? Because nobody can afford one stupid drunk driver driving a big truck knocking them down on this Chime Avenue. No, those things are dangerous. They are very dangerous. Those ones that you see passing through bush, there are 33,000 volts inside them. Now, what am I trying to say? Any man who touches them is fried. even if he did it out of ignorance. Now, I'm saying that in the realm of the spirit, there are some critical laws a man will break like that also. It wasn't that. Now, I'm going to explain something here. You see that when that guy is getting fried, nobody's judging him. You know, nobody's saying that, you know, go better for you. Why did you do it? You know, go punish you. Nobody is saying anything. He just went to touch wire and the man is fried. Spiritual things are also like that. That's why he said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. Now, we discussed that one some time ago. That prayer is a serious prayer. You know, this is just by the way. One of the ways I learn some things in life is by reading. I tell you, look, if you don't read, you'll be so stupid that even God will be ashamed of you. I'm telling you. One day, one preacher, but this guy said he was a crook. The Moshe Karen said the guy was a crook. That the crook came to preach for them, powerful and anointed. See blind people, they go just eyes go just open like this. Cripple, throw out of your wheelchair, you start walking. Bring dead man, say that guy will raise him up. Say, but the guy was a crook. So after he decided one day to collect all the money he could at the end of the program, 3 week or 6 week program, the man had been preaching every day. People had been seeing the light of God. The last day, the guy said to collect all the money possible. If God has blessed you, come, come, come. Oh, come once, twice. He said the guy took 2 hours collecting the money. After that, he packed all the money. You know, in fact, they were so embarrassed, like, what is going on? They collected all the money to the back office. The guy quickly shared benediction and ran into the office to come and meet his money. He said, what are you doing? That's my money. How is it your money? He said, listen, this is my money. All you these idiots standing here, you don't know. See money there to be made. You don't know how to make money. The guy, no, I'm not joking. He actually told Demo Shakarian that he was a fool for not knowing how to take advantage of that, of the great thing happening out there. So the guy used 2 hands, packed all his money into some briefcases that he had just manufactured from somewhere. Demo Shakarian said his brother-in-law was there. The guy was so angry, he grabbed the man. He wanted to take the money from the man by force. Then Moshe Karen said that all he knew was that he heard a voice say, let him go. Then he discovered he was the one that said it, with his hand restraining his brother-in-law. And one of those lessons you learn in life. And he told him, let him go. That you cannot touch the Lord's anointed and be guiltless. It's your problem that is a crook. Touch him, you'll be surprised. You are going home, a car hits you, you're dead. I have seen these things happen again and again. Let me tell you a story that will scare you. One day in a particular church, they had a single pastor. Very anointed pastor. Let me cut the story short. Now, they had a set of rules and regulations in the church. Anyone caught committing sexual immorality is flogged. And one sister decided to go and tempt the pastor. Maybe now she go cook for until 12 midnight. I don't know. It was on Saturday night. But the sister was telling me the story. It was the house officer. She said she knew it was Saturday night because of the way the events happened. Because by Sunday morning, he was a very holy and righteous man. He came to church feeling very bad. So when he mounted the pulpit, they thought he was in the spirit. He wasn't spirit. He was remorse and repentance. So he now decided to confess his sins publicly to the church. And he did. And some people felt that, well, pastor or no pastor, the rule is the flogging. So he shall take his 6 or 10 or 12 strokes of the cane. Therefore, the young man, was a young man, he was very humble, he prostrated. And 2 brothers who didn't understand what life was about took their canes and flogged him. As soon as they finished, they died. I'm not joking about that. 2 of them just slumped there and died. So that prayer is very critical. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That is the evil that we're going to use our hands to do. That's what he was saying. We discussed that one under the fear of evil. No, it's an important prayer point. And to confess sins like the blood of Jesus, words like the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all iniquities. You must always confess such things because I told you, look, spiritual things, you better learn solid principles. This is what I'm telling you. It really happened. I'm not joking about it. I bought this movie the other day. Though, like I told you, today I have not watched it. I just I only saw bits of it as I was passing when I was watching in my house. The story of that's the Covenant Church, the story of the Redeemed Christian Church of God. The man who founded the church, one day traveled to somewhere, maybe in the current day or Yoh or Shun State, somewhere like that, to go and settle some quarrel that was happening in their church there. And the resident pastor was making big head, trying to be stubborn. The man tried to, but hey, guys, you know, they shouldn't leave him alone. He was just talking so rash to this man. The man tried his best to calm this guy down. The guy said, I know what you're trying to do. All these politics you people are playing. At a point in time, the founder of Redeemed, the man just got up and got angry and walked away and said, except I am not a man of God. That's why this guy won't see God's judgment. He just walked away. So as they escorted him away, the people were, oh God, please don't go now. They turned back, came back, and found that guy completely leprous. He was covered with leprosy. In a few minutes, from the top of his head to the soles of his feet, instantly. Look, Bible stories are not stories. I remember one thing that Kenny Hagin said, his son said. He said, one day, you know, Kenny Hagin tells a lot of stories. He said, one day the son asked the mother, he said, Mommy, all them stories that daddy tells when he's preaching, are they really true or he's just preaching? What am I going to say? Bible stories, they're not stories, though. They really happen, and they still happen till today. Now, what I've tried to explain so far is the fact that there is what the Bible calls the law of sin and death. And the law of sin and death means simply that every time sin is committed, it always ignites. I told you that it's not as if God is sitting down sprinkling judgment. No. There are certain things a man shouldn't touch, spiritually speaking, which if he touches them, is electrocuted spiritually. What we enjoy, believe me, is the mercy of God. Listen, the sacrifice of Jesus is the most important thing that God ever did for mankind. That's why, you know, I was saying some things last week. That is why, especially Christians, they will get away with a lot of sins of, I don't know, I didn't know, now it was not deliberate. They get away with a lot of it. The reason is simple. The blood of Jesus constantly cleanses us from all iniquity. And that is not a joke. It's not really not a joke. It is as if you are going to walk through where there's plenty of wire. God just wears gloves on you by force because you don't know the one that is live. And what I'm saying is you are getting something out of it. So I've talked about sin. Now, so there is transgression. That one usually gets what the Bible calls a just recompense of reward, in which it is like you are sowing a seed, it brings a harvest. That is, there is a penalty attached to it. Are you getting my point? And that's what, if you read Hebrews, he was explaining that, in fact, the most important thing in that one is when you hear, let me put it like this, you hear the word of God and you deliberately disobey it. Listen, when I say disobey now, you know, Christians are used to, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not lie. That, no. There was a man who they told him, the economy of Samaria shall improve tomorrow, and he laughed. You know he died. That's what I'm calling transgression. They said, by tomorrow, this economy will boil. The man laughed and said, even if God went, the prophet looked at him. That's why I told you that if I'm speaking and somebody disdains the word, especially when I'm talking, I'm preaching, I feel sorry for the person. That is, I literally, if I know you and I love you, I will pray for you. Because I know if I don't, you are really in trouble. You have sinned against God. You don't get the point. I say, how can? What do you mean by how can? I have told you the word of God. You say, how can? If you don't believe, just shut your mouth and go, jeje, so that your mouth does not cause your whole body to enter into judgment. I'm telling you. No. It's so important. Bishop Oyedepo said something that which I really like. He said, no word of God, no prophecy ever leaves you the same. So it's either bringing you up or bringing you down. If you believe it, and there's something about that Ed Cole said, the one which I want you to understand. Ed Cole said, God does not ever give advice. Never. He only gives commandments. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. It's not like it is good. God does not ever give counsel. Now, listen to what I'm saying. He doesn't give you advice. Like, as a friend, though, let me tell you the truth. What I really think, no. every time he tells you something, it is a commandment. What I'm trying to say is this. So when you don't do it, it is a transgression. It is disobedience. It is called lawlessness. You are getting the principle. It's different from like, I didn't know, maybe your friends are talking, say, I think you should do the. No. If God says, this is how it should be done. Even if it's for your own good, and okay, Shebina, you know, like, put a fire extinguisher in your car. You cannot tell him, is it your car? If you don't put it, the car will vaporize as punishment for not putting it. You cannot disobey God and you go scot-free. It does not ever happen. Are you following my point? That is a deliberate disobedience. That is why God, look, Eve, I told you, Eve sinned. But the Bible never said, by one woman, sin entered into the world. Did you hear that? After the Bible said that she fell into transgression, you know, she was deceived. But Adam, it was a deliberate action. Therefore, the sin of Adam could not be atoned for with ordinary small sacrifice. In fact, the sin of Adam, in quote, was never atoned for. Adam and his generations had to die, and God brought out a new man as replacement. That is why we read last week. He said, it's after all of this, we still continue to practice. It's after that, there is no more sacrifice for such sins. Because what the man is doing now is that he has sinned right. God has empowered him to do right. Yet he decides to do wrong. God said, well, I don't know how I'm going to help him. I'm not going to forgive him. I'm just going to kill him. You are getting the point I'm going to say. So when the Bible talks about the law of sin and death, which we read about earlier, that Paul was talking about in Romans chapter 9, in Romans chapter 8, he said the law of the spirit of life, we'll talk about that maybe next time, in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. What he was saying is that every time sin is committed, now I'll explain what death means in a moment, death always follows. Now let me quickly say something about death. God said to Adam, the day you eat of it, that day you shall surely die, right? People say, did he die that day? Yes, he did. It's just that death, if you read the scriptures, death in the Bible does not mean natural death alone. That is just one of the ramifications of death. You understand what I mean? That's what you and I call physical death. Now, death in the Bible just means that there is a way by which God ordained for something to work. Are you getting my point? When it starts malfunctioning, it is because the spirit of death has entered into it. So, what God was telling Adam is that the day you eat of it, that day you shall become subject to that spirit of death. Are you following my point? That is, before now, if you planted, because Adam was not an idle man. You know that. The Bible, just like we read now, told him that he was supposed to guard that garden and cultivate it. Don't think Adam was going to just cross his leg and say, Eve, why don't you go and harvest some apples for us? Let's eat for dinner. No, no. You know, one day I read one of our pharmacology textbooks when I was in school, Lawrence and Bennett. So they're talking about anesthesia. And they said that, one man said that God was the first anesthetist. Why? Because he put Adam to sleep and then did the surgery on him, remove his rib. That was the first anesthetist. Now, I'm of that school of thought. I believe it. Others said, no, it couldn't have been. Said, well, I said, because by that time there was no pain. That was before the sin. I said, you are joking. You think Adam will have put hand in fire? No, go burn him. Listen to me. Let me tell you what was happening. If Adam caught himself, he like shouted, yeah, that is, even though he has not sinned, pain fibers or nerve endings were not invented because of sin. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Don't think Adam was just living like this. He would just look, he would just step on sharp object like this. And just say, oh, I am a child of God. Nothing. Just say, if he stepped on a sharp object, if we hear adults shout, ah, he would say, darling, what is the problem? He said, what is the difference there? The difference is that tetanus will not kill him. The difference is that the place we heal, I believe, without a scar. The difference is that there is no risk of infection setting in to now cripple the man absolutely and kill him. But that the thing will not bleed. You are joking. Go and study the human blood. For those of you who don't, if you study medicine biology, Everything inside was engineered by God to defend Adam, even before the fall. Are you getting my point? Against all these small, small problems of life. God knew the man was going to cut himself one day. So he had put things that will clot the blood, close the place up, and then initiate repair. What is death, therefore? The spirit of death is that when Adam steps on that sharp object, he will shout, that is not spirit of death. They will pull it out, it's not the spirit of death. He will bleed, not spirit of death. But if piece of death entered, then 10 days later, his neck becomes stiff. Eat now. I can't open. He can't open his mouth. What is it? He has tetanus now. One young man, one encounter I had as a house officer. He went hunting with his friends. And I don't know how he fell, but his Dane gun that he had went off while the gun was kind of loose. So the barrel faced him and discharged into his, between his shoulder, around his chest here, upper part of his chest, just before, around his shoulder here. It was a Dane gun, not a very powerful gun. So it didn't injure him too much, really. Now, this is very sad because I think it was a bit mismanaged. All right, or they gave him drugs that were not working. I don't know what happened, but let me cut the long story short. So, one day I was there, and then they took him to theater to go and clean up the wound. So that's when we were finding pieces of cloth. All those things were removed. It was local anesthesia. So by the time the guy got up, it was a young man, about 26, 28, thereabouts. Young guy, strong guy, muscular guy. He said, thank God, say I'm a strong man. He said, it's just because I'm strong. He said, if a normal man, that kind of thing hit the guy, the person is dead. He said, but because I be man. You know, as soon as he said it, me, I was the house officer. There was an MO there, medical officer. And there were two nurses or three. And a theater attendant, you know, a number of people inside the theater room. All of us just shouted spontaneously, everyone, will you shut up there? You know, we just... You know, keep quiet. God deliver you. Talk. Anyway, it was weekend. I traveled. I came back on Monday. He had tetanus. 3 days later, he was dead. Strong man. From that day till he died, it was not more than a week. After, don't let your mouth. God delivered the man. Remember what I said on Saturday? They knew him as God, but they did not honor him as God. Neither did they give thanks. Therefore, he gave them over to tetanus. And you've heard the story of the Titanic. You know the name of the ship was Unsinkable Titanic. That was not why it sank. You know why it sank? They said, even God cannot sink Titanic. And God said, all right, no problem now. I promise you I won't sink Titanic. I will just remove the power of life away from Titanic. Let us see whether Titanic has life in itself. We're talking about the sin and death. So Titanic jammed ordinary water that has solidified and Titanic sank. And God said, see, I did not even sink Titanic. If I wanted to sink something, go and ask them in, what they call it, Jericho. You will see the way I sink things. They vanish instantly. Shwa. I wasn't the one that sank Titanic. I just refused to come on duty that night. You know, when America got bombed, that's the 9/11, the Twin Towers, World Trade Center went down. I read a story, something said by this, I think the daughter of Billy Graham. They said that, where was God? He said, God was right where we placed him. He said, what do you mean? We told him, we went to court and said, we don't want God in our schools. So the Supreme Court said, God cannot stay in school. So God left. We said, we don't want God on our streets. You removed God. You don't want God in public places. He said, at the end of the day, attack him to a public place. God was where you said you should go. He said God should go to church. God was in church, actually. God didn't come. So don't say, where was God? We drove him away. My friend telling me the story of the Unsinkable Titanic told me another one, which will interest you. So one wild young woman was going out one night with her friends. And the mother begged her and said, please, this life you are leading is not good. It's okay. Please, this night, I just feel bad at this journey. Maybe it was not even night, just going on a trip. Said, pray that God will come with you on this trip. So the girl looked at the mother and said, Mommy, the car is full. if God wants to come along, he should stay in the boot. Are you hearing the story? They had a ghastly motor accident in which everybody inside the car died. But there was a crate of eggs in the boot, and no one cracked. God was in the boot. They said, God should stay in the boot. So God showed them that, all right, where did you say I should stay boot? So God just entered the boot and lay down there. So while the men were dying in the car, God was protecting the eggs. This is the only thing here that is acknowledged. Interestingly, that also was a true story, not fable. It really happened. Now, are you getting my point? I may not get all the details right, but that God protected something as fragile as egg in the boot, it really happened. While 4 or 5 adults were crushed to death in the car, the law of sin and death. No, one of the things, 2 weeks ago we said that the central part of Christianity is this one. What you use your mouth to say. You go and blaspheme against God anyhow. Such thing, God doesn't even judge. He'll just remove his hand. He says, stay in the boot. It's all right. I'll stay in the boot. Then I'll let you people know that life does not go on without me. That every plane that flies and doesn't crash, it is not because the engineers are good. It is just that except the law watches the city, the watchmen are awake but in vain. So no, except the law keeps the plane afloat, the engineer is good but in vain. Are you getting the point? No, if you know the way these things play out. Sin, I will tell you, I tell all this story by talking about sin. You know what happens with sin? Sin is the gap that's created between a man and God. That's what sin is. And this is how it is. I will tell you something about principles of life. If you buy an equipment and you say, Sony Corporation of Japan says it's 110 to 120 volts. And you travel to America for a conference and you are coming back, you want to show your wife how fast equipment you can bring back. You bring it back from the US and you plug it into Nigerian outlet. Nigerian outlet is 220 to 240 volts. Are you getting my point? A few seconds after, the thing is fried again. You know what you have done? What you did was sin. Was Sony Corporation of Japan angry with you? NEPA of Nigeria, are they angry with you? No. But what you have done is called sin. Anytime you go against the rules that God set in the realm of the spirit, you're walking in sin. It is not as if God has moral standards. This is not a matter of morality. This is a matter of the soul that sinneth, he shall die. It's not as if I'm judging him. The set that's made for America, plug into Nigeria outlet without any step-down transformer, it shall blow. Are we angry? No. Did we go to one Mr. Yugimoto that is running that enterprise in Japan? No. He didn't curse us. He didn't. He just said, watch it, this thing, 110 volts, America outlet. That's the type we use. You feel very powerful that this is his father's property. Didn't I pay for it? No, you are feeling very tough. This is not my body. I can do what I like with it, okay? And we can go to court and legislate. Abortion is legal. It's our body. That's what they told the Americans. No, do you know that was the principle? They went to court and said, there's privacy. It's our body. We can do what we like with it. And they say Roe versus Wade. Yes, a woman and her pregnancy is a private matter. If she lies, shoot the child. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. Okay, fine. So God said, no problem. Then they made all those laws. You see, people think that God is judging them. God is not judging anybody. You are touching live wire. Is it judgment to be electrocuted? No. It is called the soul that sinneth, it shall die. It is not as if we are angry. We are not angry. So, they go to the same societies. And then they will now come and say, I want to start school on an Alcoholic Anonymous to help people to recover from alcoholism. God said, look at them. The problem where the alcoholism started from, they are not facing it. They do counseling schools on how to ensure that men don't leave their wives and wives don't leave their men. God is looking at them. He said, you don't get the point. You guys are breaking a fundamental law. You have said your home is your private property. Now, there's something I read some time ago. One woman called her children and said, listen, in this house, there's no democracy. You know why there's no democracy? He said, which day did I campaign that I wanted to be your mother? When did you vote for me as your mother? I am just your mother. I didn't ask your opinion. For that reason, all decisions in this house, I take it. You people shouldn't come. There's no democracy here. In the same manner, it's like that with God. Which day did God come to the Supreme Court and say, should I invent that thing called marriage? Therefore, you can't tell him how he should be wrong. You follow my point? You know, anytime you buy a used car in Nigeria, all these modern cars, that's any car as young as 18 years, 15 years in Nigeria now, once you buy it, after a few years, your injector will have a problem. It's not only Mercedes, all of them, and that is BMW. Do you know why? When they were making the cars, they were not planning to export it to Nigeria after 10 years. They made it for Europe and from America. And they put a sticker on all of them, unleaded fuel only. I've not noticed it. Go to all of the cars, virtually all of them that use this injector system, they have it written clearly, unleaded fuel only. You know what it means? Now, just drive to this filling station in front of that Texaco, enter. Any filling station you look at, just look at there are all these major marketers, forget all these small boys that build small stations, major marketers. Every one of their dispensing machines, they put it there, contains lead anti-knock compound. Please do not ingest. Do not inhale. They put it like that. They put it boldly. So when you buy your Mercedes-Benz used, and it's in Nigeria, after usually about, it takes about a year to two, the injector must give problem. They say, hey, if they put water in it, it's not water. It is a leaded fuel that you buy. What is lead? Well, for those who want to know, lead is, what happens is that they use it to do what they call, they improve what they call octane rating of fuel. That is, it burns better, it burns faster, it burns supposedly cleaner. All right, so it improves your octane rating. So the fuel we use in Nigeria, all right, generally is cheap. It's cheaper than, so you make cheaper fuel, they improve the quality by adding lead, leaded compounds. Now, that's how sin is. When God made marriage, made the human body, made the society, he said, unsinned fuel only, no sin inside. So when you use your own kind of fuel to try to run it, when it goes kaput, are you getting my point? It is not as if God is angry. It is just called the law of sin and death. If you throw something up and it falls down, it's not because God is angry with the thing for going up. It's called the law of gravity. Are you getting my point? You know, something recently went for a program, couples meeting and all that. So, and that, I've seen that a lot of times. Now, my wife said that, why don't you say something? You know, everybody's supposed to talk. But she has noticed that when I'm in a place, and this is something about me, that everybody's supposed to talk, I don't talk. If we're talking football, I will talk. You know why? I don't know football anyway. It's just part of the noise. If we're talking about Christ in Anambra State, I will talk. If it's politics, I will open my ignorant mouth also. I know all of us don't know anything. We're just talking. People ask, look, Abuja is 1 hour flight from here. What's the color of the gate in Aso Rock? If you say green, white, green, you are just guessing. Because you understand my point, you've never been there. And if you say that, you know what Obasanjo is doing? I say, shut your mouth. How do you know what Obasanjo is doing? Did he come to discuss with you? You buy one newspaper that wants to sell. You know, I beg, let's not go into that area. So when we're up now, we'll talk. Everybody talks. So don't mind this PDP, yes. There are people destroying the populace, yes. AD, Alliance for Destruction, yes. Abuse everybody. It's just talk. But when we're in an open forum, I want to discuss the scriptures. And does everybody contribute? One guy that never talks is I, Banky. I don't. Number of reasons. One of them, I don't even have the anointing. Number two, if I finish declaring the counsel of God, and he said, please, I want to say something. And what Pastor Banky said, I really don't agree. Because I start feeling sorry for you. You know, because you see, in our place, what they say is that, and scripture I just told you, you know, I'm helping you to commit iniquity. So I won't even give you the opportunity. So when they say, recently, my wife said, you didn't say anything. I said, no, I don't want to say anything. He said, why? I said, because everybody's allowed to contribute. I said, I don't talk under such circumstances. I can't teach under such circumstances. It's a Christian gathering, but everyone's supposed to contribute. I said, listen, this is where I do my own thing. Either I'm instructing you or you are instructing me. But all this discussion only generates more ungodliness. I beg, I don't have the time. If you want to discuss, it'll be one-on-one. You understand my point? Uh-huh. You ask questions, we cross-fertilize ideas, but we are in a group. In fact, my wife was telling me that one man, he said, in fact, before we got there, another person was even, another person was present, was discussing with her, that no, these are our meetings, we shouldn't be doing like this, we should be inviting somebody to talk to us. I said, nobody knew why I tell you that. I was telling my wife. You know why that woman was telling her? He said, because somebody spoke before we arrived, and said there's what is called holy lie, and that you can lie if it's necessary. What annoyed my wife was at the end, the person coordinating said, all right, does anybody have something else to say? Oh, why am I telling you this? See, that is called sin, iniquity. We should gather and say, please, who understands what God has said is the kind of fuel that's supposed to run this engine? What is the kind of voltage we plug our marriages and our relationships into? Who has the manual from the manufacturer? That's what makes Christian life. Not let us cross-fertilize ideas. You are talking rubbish. Are you God? God has said, let us make man. The rest of us will say, God, what have you made man? We don't discuss anything. That's why I told you that Edgo said, God doesn't give advice. He doesn't discuss with you. Every time, you know what he gives? Commandments. That is, anytime you don't do what God says, you have disobeyed. You are in sin. You are in iniquity. He said, marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. Don't be advice. He said, but you know, in our family, we are Hindus. That's your problem. You know, I'm a Jew by birth and by inclination. It's your problem. What I have said to you is, you must be born again. And once you hear it, your sin has been converted from that of someone you did not know to somebody who is now deliberately transgressing the commandment of God. Therefore, judgment shall come. That's what he says. I've tried to explain something about sin today. Sin is not like, see, God has reserved something better for you in heaven. You know, sometimes I hear people, when they talk about young people, say, you know, when you engage in premarital sex, what you are doing is that you are cheapening. I say, why do you people like to tell lies? Tell the young man, young woman, that you are a sinner, and the soul that sinned shall die. What don't you just say simply? Maybe trying to explain, you know, like, you know, try to persuade. I've seen it a lot on TV. Because, now, just let me close with this. Every time men deny God, they can never enforce righteousness because God is the only standard. Like in America, or, you know, I don't know, till today, I don't know why people have it as a dream to migrate to Europe. If you must migrate to a co-developed country, please, go to the United States. It's better. Those apostate nations call Europe. Me, I don't know. And anytime I look at it, I have friends, relations that like, boys, anyway, you people are righteous people. I pray that God will shift you before something goes wrong. Because something will go wrong. There's no gainsaying the fact. Something will go wrong. There is no land that starts wedding homosexuals that problems won't come. It does not happen. I you know, God said something. He told the people, he said, these were the things that the people in that land did. And the land became polluted. And the land vomited up the inhabitants. Because the earth has a kind of life in it. It can't stand iniquity that is heavy. You keep on shedding the blood of innocent people on a land. After some time, a volcano erupts as cleansing for that land. But look, let me tell you. Spiritual things are so real. You know, one day, this same guy, I tell you that, quoted me somewhere. He sent me a mail. He said, I remember something you said about Indonesia. You know, till today, I can't remember when I said it. Now, he quoted me, said that I told him something once, that these Indonesia people, leave them now. They are playing with Islam. They will see. He sent that to me the day the tsunami hit. I can't remember saying it. There was something that happened at the time. I said, the way these guys have gone, those guys persecuted Christians. I said, look at them. They will see what Islam really brings for people. Then tsunami hit. Plague followed. And you know the way it goes. It's one after the other. Tsunami, plague, then another volcano was waiting to erupt. God said the land became polluted and he vomited up the inhabitants. It had nothing to do whether they were Christians or not. And what did God say? We should read it. Leviticus chapter 18. He told them many things. Let's start from 20. You shall not have intercourse with your neighbor's wife. 21. You shall not offer your offspring to Molech. 22. You shall not lie with a male as one lies with a female. Homosexuality is talking about is an abomination. That's what the Bible calls abomination. Abominations are spiritual plagues. That is, it's like a man drinking poison. Even if the owner of the house is not around, once you drink the poison, you are dead. It's not a matter of judgment. That's what an abomination is. He said, you will not have in terms of a woman with an animal. He said, verse 24, do not defile yourselves by any of these things, for by all these things the nation which I am casting out before you have been defiled. For the land has become polluted. Therefore, I have brought its punishment upon it. So the land has spewed out its inhabitants. Verse 26. But as for you, you are to keep my statutes and my judgments. God's statutes and judgments are like instruction manuals for that thing you have bought. Are you getting the point? So he said, you are to keep it. When you are keeping it, you shall not do any of these abominations. Neither the native amongst you, nor the alien that's among you. He said, for the land, the men of the land which have been before you have done all these abominations, and the land has become defiled, so that the land will not spill you out. That's what he's telling them. Should you defile it? That is, you are defiling the land. That's what God is talking about. He said, if you defile it, it will spill you out like the nations which were before you. Now, I'm explaining something here. That land becomes defiled. And God said, all this one of legalizing homosexuality is defilement of the land. And it will most certainly spew out its inhabitants. I read this many years ago. Then one day I sat and watched CNN. I wrote it in one of my books. And there was a great earthquake somewhere in, I think, either San Francisco. Anyway, it was in California. And of course, the Calamity News Network, they were there and they ensured that I got the full gist about it. And they interviewed one woman who was a confirmation for this scripture. She said, we are moving out. She said, my husband and I moved down here last year. In 1 year, we have gone through 4 disasters. Because there was a wild bushfire before that. It was a hurricane before that. I've forgotten the third one. But this earthquake was the 4th. The woman said, Abba, in 1 year, we are going. I looked, I said, the land has just spewed them out. I found out later from reading Eric Joyner that the epicenter of that earthquake was under a pornography studio. If you see a land that legalizes homosexuality, don't plan to raise your children there. How much more take visa to run there? Hey, no, honestly, once you see it, Jesus said, can't you discern the signs of the times? He said, when you see horsemen in pairs, shout, ha, Babylon is falling. He said, because his judgment has come. He said, when you see the army surround Jerusalem, then know that her desolation is near. Time to move. I'm not a prophet, but by understanding, once you see a land sign into law that homosexuals are normal people, and a man can marry a man, after all, why not? Because until a land legalizes something, God still has mercy on them. Once you say, in our land, it is okay. Oh boy, all your investments, they start selling. Start selling house. Because insurance company does not compensate for what they call acts of God. If you insure a house, except you specifically insure for acts of against acts of God, it's called an act of God. Who are we to fight God? Oh, God. I hope you are getting what I'm making here. So please, please, our time has gone. I really have to end. Our time has really gone. But the point I'm just making is that sin is not a moral question. Sin is a matter of set laws and standards in the realm of the spirit. You cross them, you get burnt. Are you getting my point? Like we're teaching on radios many months ago. I said sin. When we say a man don't sin, we are saying it's the reason why you won't prosper. We are not saying that don't enjoy yourself. Listen, a lot of men, now this is very common with men because it's as if the problem God gave to men, it's not as if it's God, but one problem they have is many women. That's why the Bible has to say that. Make sure the man is a man of one woman. He said, when you want to appoint deacons, he told Timothy, come, make sure he's a man of one woman. You know, most Bible says the husband of one wife. The literal Greek says a man of one woman. That is, even if he doesn't marry the second wife, once he has her somewhere, he's not qualified. If you hear the man has girlfriend, he cannot be a deacon. A husband of one wife was not the discussion. The issue was, is he a man of one woman? Are you getting my point? Now, I see a lot of men, once money enter their pocket, they become they become men of multiple women. They have one wife, but they now have women. I said, poor guy. He doesn't understand that what he has just done is to throw away his ability to move his wealth to another level. Are you getting my point? That is, if you see a man, if there are so many stories I've heard, you know, like I told you, I look at things with different eyes. One day I watched a movie, a true story about a mafia don. I noticed it's interesting about the guy. He's been in the mafia for a long time. One of those relatively okay, in quotes. They are all evil people, mafia guys. Yeah. He's a don, big guy, respected and all that. The law couldn't get him nothing. Then one day, he began. Meanwhile, this wife, there was one young woman he met while he was yet a boy also. She was also a small girl. Even before he joined the mafia, he told her. And the woman said, please promise our children will not join. He said, no problem. They got married. They had kids. The kids grew up. They never shot him. They never shot any of these kids. Then one day, he began to have an affair with one young woman that just immigrated to the United States. As a spiritual man, I said, this man's problem has really just become... If you know the way God judges things, you will laugh. Like God just said, your problem has begun. Shortly after, police arrested him and they indicted him. And I think before this thing, somebody shot him and killed him. I said, you say, it's because of the people. I said, no. God said, this is the judgment. He said, he has now dealt treacherously with the wife of his youth. People die for reasons you don't know. The thing you think they are going to die for? You see, David was raking. He took a goat. We will kill him. God's the ordinary goat. Ordinary goat, David. So what do we do to you now? Are you getting the point I'm making? You understand my point? The thing that God judges, you'll be surprised. So when you tell men, don't commit sin. Leave adultery alone. We are not saying we don't want you to enjoy. We are saying it is not the passport to enjoyment. It's how to die. This is how to die. It doesn't matter that it's our culture. You know, like one man told me once, his son was mental. I saw him in a psychiatric hospital. We saw that I was clerking the boy. The boy was going crazy. So when medical students take him, like, so part of the thing we do, we take medical and social history. How many wives do you have? How many children? He said, he has one wife. Uh-huh. How many children? He said, well, I have like 8. Five from this boy's mother. But you know we African, you know the way we live now. You know the way we live. The man told me. My mom said, what do you mean? I know he has a few children here and there. I said, okay, now your boys are going mental. You can't you see that the way Africans live is not going to get Africans anywhere? What is wrong with these people? You know, the way we live. What is the way we live? There is a way to keep your way pure. What God is saying that this is a path to progress. He's not saying that I don't want you to enjoy. After all, Muhammad said that God has reserved 70 virgins for him. That will show you that the man's heart has not departed from his iniquity. So he just shifted iniquity to another zone. If I can't do it on earth, I will do it in heaven. And when I go drink, we'll be bathing inside. So swimming pool will be beer and go. But we'll not drink on earth. But his heart is still lusting after drink. So you see, that's the thing about God. What he will not give you here, he won't give you there. You're not supposed to have it. What are you doing with 70, is it black or yellow-eyed virgins that he said, all these bombers? When they get there, they will see 70 red-eyed demons. Oh, God. I hope you're getting my point. I've just had to explain a principle here that, listen, with God, it is not a matter of moral distance. It's a breaking of a divine order. We'll continue from there next time. Let us go. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good.